All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning here at Lighthouse Discipleship Center. My name is Dave Everett, and we're going to be continuing our teaching from 2 weeks ago from the Lord's Release. This is part two of two. I'll be wrapping this one up today as we continue it this morning. Just so you know, all of our teachings are archived, on our website at lighthousediscipleship.org, as well as our YouTube channel, Lighthouse Discipleship Center. And we also want to say thank you to all those who have partnered with us with their tithes and their offerings and their contributions. In case you're wondering how to do so, you can simply go to our website at lighthousediscipleship.org. At the top right corner, there's a blue button that says give, and you can give from anywhere around the world. All right, with all the advertisements and announcements out of the way, let's go ahead and jump into our message this morning. We're talking about the Lord's release, and I apologize, we had come up last week that we just could not be here. So anyway, so here we are picking up from 2 weeks ago, where we're talking about the Lord's release. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago, so I'm going to do a little bit of recap because it's been a couple weeks. You know, the Lord's release is very similar in so many and many fashions to Jubilee. And you can find Jubilee spelled out for you in the Leviticus chapter 25. And every 50 years, some of the benefits of Jubilee, there's much more than this, but all debts were forgiven, land was restored, slaves were released, families were reunited and fully restored. And Jubilee points, anything in the Old Testament testifies of Jesus. All testifies to the Lord. And in the Old Testament, you know, Christ is concealed, but in the New Testament, Christ is revealed. That's how we teach that, okay? But Jubilee always speaks towards Jesus. You know, he's our Jubilee. Well, the Lord's release is found in Deuteronomy chapter 15, and we're going to pick it up right up there again. That's our main verse for this teaching. But in Deuteronomy 15, it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. So this is where the phrase comes from, the Lord's release, okay? And also, we're going to take anything in the Old Testament, and we're going to point it to Jesus, because that's what it's supposed to do. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because they testify of me. Okay, and so all scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training, and righteousness of the man of God might be fully equipped for every good work. So we are in good hands with teaching from the Old Testament for any of those who are anti-Old Testament for whatever reason. Okay, it's all going to point to the gospel. It's all going to point to the cross. Okay, but this is where the phrase comes from, the Lord's release. And specifically in context, it's about debt. And specifically, financial debt. Okay, and whereas Jubilee, it was a command to release all debt every 50 years, this is more frequent every 7 years. Okay? And so this is more frequent than that. I'm not going to get so much on the 7 years. I'm just going to point out it's more frequent. But at the same point in time, it's systematic. We are not supposed to hold on to debt. God wants you free from debt. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn anyone who's in debt. But we are to release one another. And I know this is speaking towards finances, financial debt, but I believe debt can also be grudges, unforgiveness, and many other things that we just need to release one another, and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to release one another. And it's called the Lord's release. It's the release of debt. And I believe all this release of debt, it speaks of God's release of us. He forgave our debts. He forgave our trespasses. And we're now in the kingdom of God. We're now children of God, like father, like son and daughter. And we are in the kingdom of God, and as children of God, we are to release one another. Okay? This speaks to the redemption that we have in Jesus. This speaks of God's heart in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, that God wants people free, okay? God wants to release people, and God wants us to release people. He wants us to be released in spirit, soul, and body. He wants us to be released financially, relationally, physically, from any sickness and disease, from any addiction, from any depression, from any sin, from any oppression. God wants his people free. And he wants us to have that same attitude of freeing one another, releasing one another. And we can talk all day about how at the cross, God forgave us. Now, I already read so far for the context of verse 2. Let me finish the context and we'll come back. We'll talk to things. So it goes on to say, verse 3, or of a foreigner, you may require it. So this is for our brothers. Okay? So you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owned by your brother, except when there be no poor among you. God doesn't want any poor among us. Okay? But the Lord will greatly bless you. There's a blessing with this. When you release one another, there's a blessing. Because why? God's your source, not you. Okay? In the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of your God to observe with all care all these commandments which I command you today. But the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. He said this multiple times in Deuteronomy. But we are to be lenders, not borrowers. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. And I can bring that all in the New Testament right there, too, especially Romans chapter 5. If there's among you poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land, in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart and shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need. This speaks of Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, when there was no needy upon them, and the church multiplied daily. We've lost this. So, some of you think this is Old Testament. Well, when the church was born in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, this was going on. Okay? We've lost this. Whatever he needs, beware lest there be a wicked thought in our heart. God calls it wickedness when we withhold from one another, when we don't release one another. Saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and I be evil, he calls it evil, against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. God calls that wicked. God calls that evil. And he cried out to the Lord against you, and it becomes a sin among you. He calls it sin. Okay, he says, verse 10, and you shall surely give to him, and your heart shall be grieved when you should not be grieved. It speaks of Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. This is awesome. Okay, now some of you thinking, Dave, I thought you preached grace. I do. Freely we receive, freely we give. You can't give something you don't have. So those of you who are opposed to this because you don't think it's grace, you're okay if God gives you grace, but you're not okay with giving grace to other people? If we are grace people, we should be the most gracious, merciful people on the planet. Amen or oh me. Okay? And so, the cross, everything Jesus did for us, we should be a mirror of that to other people. This reminds me of the unmerciful servant in Luke chapter 8, Matthew 18, who would not forgive a lesser debt than the one he was already forgiven. God has forgiven us the debt of all debts. We all deserve hell. We ought to forgive one another, including financial debt. And Jesus talks about finances more than he talks about faith in the gospel letters. And Jesus said, finances are the least of the things. And if we can't forgive someone financial debt, the least of the things, something's wrong. Okay? And so anyway, I'm not going to go a lot deeper into that, but there's a blessing here when we release one another. And I'm not just talking about financial debt. Okay? This is talking about freedom. Okay? This whole Lord's release. And it says Jesus, this Lord's release is talking about freedom. We need to release one another on many different levels, okay? But he who the Son set free shall be free indeed. So if God sets you free, let's set one another free. Our attitude, our mindset should be how can we help one another, release one another from all different kinds of stuff. We need to, freely we receive, freely we give, we need to go set the captives free. The Spirit of God is upon us that we may set the captives free. Okay, we're going to get there in just a minute. I'm quoting from Isaiah 61. You know, God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So don't let it, we shouldn't be cursing one another. He became, he redeemed us from the curse, becoming a curse for us. And I'm going to pick up here that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We've been redeemed, that the blessings of Abraham might be on us. So let's bless one another, because we've been blessed. Okay? We're talking about the perfect law of liberty. Okay? I'm just taking it from another angle in this series and continues in it. And it's not a forgiveful hearer, but in the doing of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That sounds a lot like Deuteronomy. If you will practice the perfect law of liberty, there's a blessing that comes with it in everything you do. Okay? So don't get religiously stuck and that this is just an Old Testament thing. Oh, James didn't get that memo. Okay? And I talked at length in my previous series about how life, we reckon ourselves be dead to things we said, but alive to God. Christ paid a debt we could not pay through the cross and set us free from sin. But he didn't just set us free from sin. He gave us his life. And this life releases other people. Okay. This is called the Lord's release. I hope you're getting something out of this. God wants to set us free from sin. He wants to set us free in our hearts, in our souls, in our emotions. He wants to set us free from anxiety. He wants to set us free in our health. He wants to set us free from depression. He wants to set us free from addiction. He wants to set us free from fear and debt and shame. We were in the kingdom of darkness, but we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And none of these things are part of the kingdom of God. Some of you, you've been stuck in these things, and you've been in the wrong kingdom for too long. It's time to wake up and be released. Some of you, you need to release one another, but some of you need to receive the Lord's release for yourself. Let him set you free from sickness, from anxiety, from depression, from addiction, from sin, from shame. See, when Jesus says this way to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. What did Jesus do in his ministry? Was Jesus not going about and setting everybody free? Jesus had a teaching, healing, raising the dead type of ministry. That's what he did. Jesus went looking for who he could set free. We should too. We should do the works that he did and even greater works. We'll get to it in a moment in Luke, but it says in Isaiah, this is a messianic prophecy, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, talking about Jesus, and Jesus is in us. Excuse me, so we can personalize it, and the Spirit of God is upon you. Because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, you, to preach good tidings, to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the supple here in the Lord. That's talking about Jubilee. And the day of vengeance of our God, to cover all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness at the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall rebuild old ruins. I see a lot of releasing here. A lot of releasing. and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. Some of you, your lives are ruined because of sin and because of different things. It's time to rebuild. Okay? The desolations of many generations. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Some of you, your lives are messed up because you just did. You can't blame anyone for yourself and the devil. But no matter what you have done, no matter how much you might have messed up your life, God wants to give you double honor instead of your shame. God wants to release you from that shame. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Okay. All right. I want to stop there just for a moment. All right. I just want to catch up with myself, make sure I'm not missing anything. So anyway, what I just read is Isaiah 61. We'll look at it in just a moment in Luke's version when Jesus started his ministry. But we have a release in ministry. The Spirit of God is upon us that we may set the captives free. I'm trying to change some of our mindsets. But I'm also saying there's a promise that goes with this. Okay? If we will release one another. Okay? I haven't finished along that thought. I'll come back to that. I also shared last week from Luke chapter 13 when Jesus was teaching the synagogue on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not in no way raise herself up. But Jesus, when he saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loose." That same word is release in the Hebrew. You are released. You're loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Healing glorifies God. When we release one another, set people free, it glorifies God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which you may ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered and said, "Hypocrite." I love it that Jesus just cuts to the chase. He says, "Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound?" This was not something God did to teach her something. We are not taught by sickness. We are taught by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit is our teacher, not our problems. Okay? Satan bound. So think about it. He's telling us, you think about it. Use your brain. Okay? For 18 years, this woman, a child of Abraham, was bound. Is she not more worth than your ox or donkey? Be loose from the bondness bond on the Sabbath. So that was your religion, by your traditions, you make the word of God of no effect. Okay? 18 years, this woman was supposed to be released. Okay? Because she was a child of Abraham. Well, we need to behold that what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And we too are daughters of Abraham. I have many scriptures that can bring up, because if you're of Christ, you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I think that's Galatians 3:29. Folks, we need to release one another. Jesus told us to go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely we receive, freely we give. Okay? So we, because we are children of Abraham, this is love. See, everything we're talking about releasing one another is called love. We love because he first loved us. So we ought to love one another. Just as Jesus said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." You might be the only person that someone sees that is the closest to Jesus they've ever been. Because if we see Jesus, we see the Father. When people see us, they should see Jesus. Okay? Anyway, same bound. What I want to piggyback on here, which I said sure last week, that there are things, folks, that Satan is holding you back. are holding others back from doing what God's called you to do, from being who God's called you to be. And it's time to be loose. It's time to be released. It's time to, if I can go back here, it's time to glorify God. You being stuck, you being tied up like an ox or a donkey is not glorifying God. Okay? I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying it's time to get released. We're talking about the Lord's release. You're stuck, and your brother's stuck. It's time to get released. And everything I'm describing here is not just Old Testament. Jesus went about with the Holy Spirit power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Is God with you? Is God with you? Then we need to also be going about all and releasing those who are being oppressed by the devil in many different ways. It's called the Lord's release. And I know this has to do with finances and different things, especially in context of this. And that might apply. There's some things. There's some fights. There's some quarrels among you and family, and friends, and business, perhaps. I know sometimes business is business, but let the Holy Spirit be your guide. But there's some things, folks, you need to release. Because there is a blessing that goes with this release. Okay, I gotta go forward. I don't need to read all this again. There's a blessing that's associated with this release. And I just want to read my notes here. Giving should not grieve us if God loves the children together. But there is a supernatural blessing attached to the Lord's release. I can't fully explain it. You know why I can't fully explain it? It's called supernatural. You try explaining something that's supernatural. Okay? It's not natural. Okay? But God will restore you far better than you ever could on your own if you will release some things. There are things that are you're holding on to, whether that be debt, unforgiveness, depression, all different kinds of sins and addictions. And there's some things, folks, this is my main message I'm trying to get across in this. There's some things that you and some people, you need to let go. It's called the Lord's release. That's what we're talking about right now. There's some things, there's some people, you need to let go. Okay? And when you release these things, there will be a supernatural blessing that follows because of it. When you give, when God tells you to give, however much He tells you to give, even if He tells you to give it all, you do it, and the Lord will bless you. And some of you are coming back, well, this sounds like performance. No, this is called faith and trusting what God told us to do. Faith without works is dead. There's a performance. There's, if God told you to go somewhere, if God told you to do something, you go do it. You go there. That's not performance. That's called obedience by faith. Okay? I'm not trying to earn God's blessing. I'm not trying to earn God's grace. I'm just, God is telling me to do something, and I'm responding by faith. Because, and I gotta get to, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God gives more grace to the humble than He does those who are proud. I'll get there in just a moment. I chopped that verse up from James. We'll get there in a minute. Last week, too, I shared from 2 Kings chapter 4 about a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. and the creditor is coming to take my two sons. Because we're talking about debts. Well, this woman was in debt. There was creditors coming to take her sons to be slaves. That's how it happened back then. You go in debt, your family goes into slavery. And so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? What do you want? Now, I think he kind of asked this in a different tone of voice, but I'm going to put it in my own tone. What do you want? What do you want God to do for you? What do you need? What do you want? Okay? And then he asked a second question. What do you have? She had a debt problem. Now, based on the circumstances, what I read, she didn't do anything wrong to get there. Now, some of you might have done things wrong to get into debt. Some of you might just be a matter of circumstances that got you there. I don't really care if that was your fault or someone else's fault. God wants to set you free. Now, if it was your fault, you don't learn some things, you're going to go back into debt. So, there's some teaching that might be necessary. Okay, but that's another subject matter. We can talk about that later. But God wants to set you free. See, God's not a respecter of, God's not going to touch you, help you because you have a need. We all have needs. He's a respecter of faith. Okay? Hopefully I'm making sense. He says, what do you have? And she said, your maidservant had nothing in the house but a jar of oil. I don't have anything but oil. And to the man of God, that's all she needed. He didn't ask what when you read this, you don't see him respond, oh, that's all you have. What do you have? He does the same connotation that Jesus did with the multitudes when he needed to feed the multitudes. What do we have? All we have is a little boy's lunch. That's all he needed. Would Peter cast your net on the other side of the boat? We were fishing all night. We caught nothing. His first miracle he ever did before he was even in the ministry, his mama came to him and they needed more wine. He just took the barrels of water that they had and changed it to wine. God can use what you have if all you have is a jar of oil. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Think big. Some of you have a bottom of the barrel attitude. We have a lack mentality. Well, it's our country. Our country's poor. Your source is not your country. Your source is not your leaders. Your source is God. Let me ask you, who's your God? You? Your countrymen? Your leaders? Or God? Some of us have a bottom of the barrel attitude financially, emotionally, physically, relationally, vocationally. Some of you have a victim mentality instead of a victor mentality. And we need to change our focus. Now, only a jar of oil might not seem like much. But God can take what you have if you will have an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of multiplication. Think big. Don't just gather a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. This is just between you and God. I don't care what other people think. God will use what you have. What do you have? I would imagine most of you who are listening have more than just a jar of oil. But what do you have? And he goes on to say, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought See, everything she's doing is fake because she's responding to what the man of God is telling her to do, and she is complying, obedient. She's responding in faith. She's not trying to earn something. She's trying to respond to the Word of God. The Word of God has come into her home through the prophet called Elisha. She has nothing to lose. She's already at the bottom of the barrel. Okay? And who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there's not another vessel, so the oil ceased. And he goes on to say, verse 7, and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay off your debts. You and your sons live on the rest. It's called the Lord's release. God's power is not limitless. Some of you need to stop limiting God. How much oil she got was based on how many vessels she got. The oil only ran out because she ran out of vessels. There's a whole message here. I have time this 2 weeks ago. I don't have time to spend a lot of time here. But God's not limitless. He's not the one who sets the limits on his power. And there's no limits in the kingdom of God. We have the keys of the kingdom. We have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to do a message on this later this year on the keys of the kingdom. And there's some things that we need to loose. There's some things we need to bound. Because this is the Lord's release. And the Lord's release is one of those keys of how we can not only bless our brother, but we can bless ourselves. Some of you might call this performance religion. I call it the kingdom of God and how it works. But this is kind of where I left off. Everything I just shared so far this morning has been a recap. Now let me get to this week's lesson, what I didn't get to share 2 weeks ago. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. Everything I just shared is a recap. I didn't go a lot deep as I did last time, but that's where I'm going. So anyway, we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus starts his earthly ministry. He had just been baptized. He had just gone out into the wilderness, was tempted for 40 days. He's coming back. And that's where he picked up. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. That's where he was raised. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He did this customary. He did this all the time. He didn't do something new. He wasn't even doing anything profound. This was his custom. And he was handed the book of a prophet, from the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he quotes from Isaiah 61, which we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to captives, to recover the sight to the blind, set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the supple year of the Lord. Okay. So he's reading from Isaiah 61. And then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And that's what kind of changes the mood of the room. You know, Jesus is just about ready to start his earthly ministry before he goes to the cross. And up until this point, Jesus had not done any of this. He had not healed one person yet. He did not one miracle yet. Except for the water and the wine. He didn't do that one already. But he hadn't done anything yet. He was still, in their eyes, a carpenter's son. That's where he was at. He was in his hometown. He hadn't done any of this yet. And he said, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Are you getting the picture? Because everything he just said, when he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, He is saying this, and he spoke by faith. Before he performed one single miracle, he spoke of faith that today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. See, when you exemplify faith, it will offend people. We find that throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. When faith is exemplified, people get offended. But then, this is verses 20, 21. And so, all who bore witness to him marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Because all they could see is Joseph's son. And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have the herd done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "But surely I say to you, no prophet is something in his own hand." So he's kind of responding to their marveling. They haven't been able to connect the dots yet. All they can see is Joseph's son. And he just said, "But he just read out of Isaiah 61. Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." And then, it seems to be out of context, he gives two stories. Two Old Testament stories that seem not to fit the context. Because he says in verse 25, I tell you, truly many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. He's kind of piggybacking on what he just said. There's no prophet who is accepted in his hometown. But he also just said that today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And I believe, because he just spoke a statement of faith, that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, he gives two examples of faith. This first one is this Zarephath widow. This widow of Zarephath. Okay? A widow. And a widow back in those days was basically a nobody in society. But there was a lot of widows in Israel, but need does not motivate God. You know what motivates God? I already said it this morning. Faith. Faith is what pierces the veil. It is said in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans says this way, but he who doubts is condemned. He eats because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. And one of my favorite verses from Philemon says, the communication of your faith becomes effectual when you acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And I can go on and on and on and on talking about faith. We're talking about the law of liberty, but I'm also this morning talking about the law of faith. See, this widow, this widow was from Sidon. You know where Sidon was? That's where Jezebel came from. Baal worship. Elijah, I'm not going to go back to the book of Kings and read all the details, but Elijah was fleeing for his life. But he needed a miracle of provision. He was at the brook where the ravens were feeding him, so he was already seeing provision there. But then God told him to go to Sidon. Now, while Elijah is running away from Jezebel, and God tells him to go where Jezebel is, in the region of Sidon. That's the opposite direction Elijah wanted to go. He says, if you read the context where the story is placed in Kings, he says, I commanded a widow to provide for you. A widow who could not even provide for herself was commanded to provide for him. This is called faith. Why am I talking about this? Because that's what Jesus talked about in this context. And when you read the story, she is picking up sticks with her son. And Elijah comes on the scene and says, feed me. And she's like, I have my last flour. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. That just sounds like a great statement of faith. But Elijah said, no, you feed me first. There's no first in this. There's only one meal. And then we're going to eat and die. But he says, feed me first, your flour will never run out. This is where faith comes in. Elijah, a man she never met before, comes to her house and says, feed me first. She was gathering sticks to make her last meal and then die. But where faith comes in is that she believed the word of God and survived a major famine. Why? Because it's called the Lord Jesus. There were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was sent to this one. Jesus just made a statement of faith that this is fulfilled in your hearing. And God used a widow in Sidon to feed Elijah, and her own flour never ran out. It's called the Lord's release. And then in verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha and the prophet. So there's Elisha, who followed Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. There was many widows Elijah could have gone to, but God sent her to this one. There was many lepers in Israel, but Elisha was sent to this guy. Now, who's this guy? Elijah was sent to a widow in the area from where Jezebel, who was trying to kill him. And who's this guy? He's from Syria. He's the general army of the most powerful man who hated Israel. An Israeli, if you go back into Kings and you read the story, an Israeli slave girl told Naaman, too bad you couldn't hear the prophet Elisha, because otherwise you'd get healed. An Israeli slave girl who was in slavery told him to go meet Elisha to get healed. And when you read the story, Elisha, I mean, you just gotta love these Old Testament prophets. He didn't have time in his schedule to go meet Naaman. He just sent a servant to be a messenger. And the message that this guy gets is, you go dip into the muddy Jordan seven times. He didn't like that. At first he refused. But another servant challenged him, and Naaman humbled himself, did what Elisha said, and he got healed. It's called the Lord's release. Probably two of the most unexpected people God sends the prophet Elijah or Elisha to, they get a word that sounds exactly opposite what they should do. Give me your last meal and first, and your flour never run out. Go dip into a muddy Jordan, and you'll be healed. But you know, and both of these are not even, so if Jesus is responding to his hometown, because all they see is a carpenter's son. He says, a prophet's not without honor in his hometown. But what I just read to you has been fulfilled in your hearing. He's speaking of faith. And he gives two stories of two Gentiles. Not Israelites. Who had a statement of faith. What was the statement of faith here? These two, this widow and this leper, believed the word of God And they got the provision, and they got their miracle, and they got their healing. It's called the Lord's release. Where am I going with this? I don't know if you can follow me so far.
It says in James,
but God gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're talking about the Lord's release. But Dave, you sound like you could one off on this faith thing. Yeah. Because the Lord's release is all about faith. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. See, humility and faith go hand in hand. Pride, so many times, will stop people from receiving from God. Pride could have kept that widow from receiving her provision. Pride could have got the other widow with the jars of oil from giving her provision. Pride could have kept Naaman from getting his healing. Pride could prevent the person who is not willing to release debt to his brother or sister from being blessed. Pride, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pride from the religious ruler almost prevented that woman from getting healed on the Sabbath. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pride so many times will stop people from receiving from God, from doing what God has called them to do. Pride is a major, major, major issue in the church today. See, when I teach about pride and humility, I teach about David and Goliath. You ever read the story, David and Goliath? Israel, the armies of Israel, for 40 days, Goliath taunts them, rebukes them, defies them. Excuse me. And then David comes on the scene. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Pride. See, King Saul and the armies of Israel were insecure, wallowing in fear for 40 days. See, pride can be insecure. Why do I call insecurity pride? Because all you see is yourself. But David's focus was on his God and his covenant with God. And he didn't see a giant. He saw an uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God. That's humility. David was not trusting himself because of his stature or his age. David was not trusting himself because of his military background. He had none of. But David trusted his God and his covenant relationship with his God. Above all else, he killed a lion, he killed a bear, and this Philistine, this giant, was just like one of those. Why? Because he knew his God and he knew his covenant that he had with God. That is humility. Pride is saying, I can't do this. But David says, David's attitude, which is humility, says, I'm not even focused about me. I focus on my God. Are you following me? Pride will keep you from receiving God. Pride will make you limit God. Okay? God cannot use pride. He can use inability, but he can't use pride. He can use immaturity, but he can't use pride. He can use weakness, but he can't use pride. You might have nothing, he can use you. You have pride, he can't use you. Are you following me? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Peter said it this way, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, that he may release you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Some of you are so intoxicated by with your pride. You're so focused on self compared to the problem. Whether you might be facing a financial problem. You're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's not about you, but God can. Nothing is impossible for him who believes. Some of you are so enamored and so focused on who done what to you, your problem and your pain and your sickness. You're so enamored with what the doctor said, what this person said, what this person said. And some of you just need to get humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Focus on him that he may exalt you due to casting all your cares on him. And leave them there. Some of you cast your cares on God and you pick them back up. For he cares for you. Be sober. Some of you are so intoxicated with your problems. So intoxicated with your depression. So intoxicated with your addiction. So intoxicated with the cares of this world. The cares of this world will choke out the word of God. But the parable of the sower. Be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, the same devil who bound that woman for 18 years, the devil walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he devour. The devil might be roaring, but it's called the Lord's release. Today is the day of salvation. Today is time to let some things go and see the salvation of God in your life. In your finances, in your family, in your marriage, in different things. It's called the Lord's release. Pride is how the devil devours people today. With a do it my way attitude. To quote Frank Sinatra. Anything that's not of faith is sin. We already read that this morning. Do you have debt? Do people owe you stuff? Do you have grudges and unforgiveness toward others? Folks, I have one main message this morning. It's time to let it go. I understand that what some people have done to you has been horrible. The debt might be enormous. Not just the financial, but also the mental and emotional. Some of you have been violated in the most wicked, evil way. But it's time to let it go. It's time to submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. It's time to draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your hearts. You know, it's time to submit to God. It's time to humble yourself in the sight of God. It's time, folks, to believe God. Let it go. It's called the Lord's release. Humble yourself in his sight, and he will lift you up. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha and the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman. Why? I don't have all the answers of why he was only sent to Naaman. But Naaman believed the word of God and did it. He humbled himself and he got cleansed. And so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. He just gave two awesome stories. A woman and a man who did not deserve it. When faith is exemplified, people will be offended. Folks, it's called the Lord's release. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I don't know if everything I've shared made sense and you've been able to connect the dots. But God, let me just say this, God is blind to everything. Faith. next week I'll be talking about a Syrophoenician woman and a centurion, two Gentiles who Jesus was marveled at their faith. He kind of did the same thing here. God does not see things the way we see them. He sees faith. And it's not just about releasing things to release things. It's about trusting God. But can I challenge you again? It's time to let some things go. It's time to release some things. I can try to give you some stories and different things, and I don't know if that would help, but take the Word of God and release some things. God wants to bless you. I'm going to be continuing on this theme. I have several short messages. I don't know if they will all be end up being short, knowing me. But next week I'm going to start a new series, something I have not taught on before. I'm entitling Marveling Tenacity. And what's springing this is two stories I just talked about, the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion's faith, because there's two people when Jesus marveled at their faith. But there was a tenacity that they had too. I got some other examples and some other things to say along those lines. But this and this is all about faith. Faith not in you, not faith in what you're doing, but in faith in what God tells you to do, say, or whatever. Trust God. Believe God. Believe God. That's just two main words that God's given me for this whole message. Believe God and let it go. Believe God and let it go. Let it go, believe in God. You can put those in any order you want to. But sometimes you need to let go and let God restore back to you, because there's a blessing that goes with this. I don't know if you need to hear this, but I know I do. There's some things I'm working through right now that I've got to let go. And this might not be my most profound message I've talked about so far, but it's something that is just resounding in my heart. And it's very simple. I pretty much preached the same message 2 weeks in a row. I just didn't get to finish last week. So that's okay. That's not downplay. There's an extra purpose of doing the way I did. Okay. But it's just a very simple message that we call the Lord's release. Amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you guys. I hope you guys have a great week. Amen. God bless.